See, I think drugs have done some good things for us. I really do. And if you don't believe drugs have done good things for us, do me a favor. Go home tonight, take all your albums, all your tapes, and all your CDs and burn them. Because you know what? The musicians who made all that great music that's enhanced your lives throughout the years? Real fucking high on drugs.
Plenty of people say he is the best American comedian the country has ever produced. His influence lives on.
I'm going to share with you a vision that I have because I love you.
Get out! Get out! Take her out!
Hey, buddy, we're Christians. We don't like what you said. I said, then forgive me.
Please welcome Bill Hicks.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. I only do this for a few people, especially a fellow Sagittarius such as that. Now, if you grew up listening to Tool and Third Eye. Now, yes, I've talked to so many different Tool fans throughout the years. And, you know, what is Tool's masterpiece? Some would say it is their version of Led Zeppelin's No Quarter. Okay, we'll put that in the top of the tapestry. For me, it's always been Third Eye. Third Eye is that one song where, well, if you know what your third eye is, you know about the pineal gland, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, and the Eye of Ra, because I did my homework always when it came to the third eye. But Bill Hicks tapped into that fucking shit. So, his buddies, Tool, paid him probably the ultimate tribute. They put his voice, his face, on their 1996 album, Anima, and closed out the album with Bill Hicks. And Third Eye really is the catalyst. And for me, that's one of their best. And so it is fitting that 30 years ago on this night, in fact, Maynard talks about that, the night that Bill died, okay? They were, I think, in Minnesota or somewhere touring. And at 2 in the morning or something, he felt Bill tap him as Bill was leaving his body. I can attest to that, having a family member there where they die and they tap you. Because they figured, hey, I'm going to reach out to so-and-so at this very moment that I am leaving this mortal coil for the astral whatever it is. And so 30 years ago, on February 26, 1994, in Little Rock, Arkansas, at the age, the very young age of 32, William Melvin Hicks died of prostate cancer. Now, his parents both outlived him. I don't know if his mother, Mary Hicks, is still with us. Or no, he died of pancreatic cancer, sorry. He was diagnosed with it in 1993. It spread to his liver. He still toured and recorded his album Arizona Bay while receiving weekly chemotherapy. Oh, see, that's where Maynard gets it, the Arizona Bay. In his last weeks, Hicks reread J.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings and made phone calls to friends to say goodbye before he stopped speaking on February 14th, 1994. He died on February 26th at the age of 32. He was buried in the family's grave plot at Magnolia Cemetery, Lakesville, Mississippi. So my fellow Sagittarius was born on December 16th, 1961, in Valdosta, Georgia. Never went down to Georgia, baby. And Bill had very dark comedy, but we could all fucking relate to it. Remember where he says, "Hey, we're Christians and we don't like what you're doing." Well, then forgive me. And he was the Weaver. See, all of these things that Maynard and them tap into, remember that song, the Pussifer song, "I am the Weaver"? Where do you think he got that shit from? Come on. You know him and Bill had those conversations. Bill Hicks had a comedy that, I mean, it was along the lines of, you know, he was doing something that I think Carlin hadn't yet tapped into, you know. Oh, here it is. This is the connection with Tool. Tool invited Hicks to open a number of concerts in its 1993 Lollapalooza appearances, where Hicks once asked the audience to look for a contact lens he had lost. Thousands of people complied. Members of Tool felt that Hicks and they were resonating similar concepts. Intending to raise awareness about Hicks' material and ideas, Tool dedicated their triple play, okay, album Anima to Hicks. Both the lenticular casting of the album packaging and the chorus of the title track Anna make the reference to a sketch from the Hicks' Arizona Bay album, in which he contemplates the idea of Los Angeles falling into the Pacific Ocean. Anima's final track, Third Eye, contains samples from Hicks' Dangerous and Rentless albums. An alternate version of the album artwork shows a painting of Bill Hicks calling himself another dead hero, and mention of Hicks are found in both the liner notes and on the record. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, there was a controversy with the Letterman show and why they cut him, you know, and how the family was very resentful towards that. And I think later Mary Hicks appeared on Letterman to kind of, I guess, maybe close a chapter on that. Now, there's a wonderful documentary on Bill Hicks. Here we go. It's called American, The Bill Hicks Story, a 2009 biographical documentary film on the life of comedian Bill Hicks. The film was produced by Matt Herlock and Paul Thomas. And the filmmakers used a cut-and-paste animation technique to add movement to a large collection of still photos used to document events in Hicks' life. The film made its North America premiere in 2010. Yeah. It's a very important documentary. Go and watch that. You know, Hicks really tapped into something in terms of his comedy and in terms of, you know, good comedy wakes you up, okay? But I love the ones where, you know, he's telling people to suck Satan's cock and it's like, oh, how much? $20? But he talks about life and I think he knew, you know. Some people know, it's like those great explorers, Amelia Earhart and the crazy one. They, you know at some point their luck's going to run out. You know, their luck's going to run out and they're going to run into a storm and the gear is not going to work anymore and they're going to fly blind. And when you fly blind, shit happens. And shit falls apart. So I think Bill probably knew his time was limited. You know, some of us know that our time is limited and, you know, borrowed time. I have an uncle who once said to me of someone, "Well, he's living on borrowed time." And it's like, okay. But then, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, I don't know. In retrospect, we're all living on borrowed time. I'm living on borrowed time. I mean, I won't go into what's happened, you know. I won't go into some health things that I'm enduring, you know, because it's not important. We're talking about Bill Hicks. So, you know, as a Sagittarius, I can attest to this. We like to keep shit in. We don't like to, you know, especially if it's something that's eventually going to kill us. We don't like to talk about that. You know, we would like everyone just to enjoy the ride. And we're going to get to that because this is Bill talking about life. It's just a ride. And it is. But we like people to have the party, you know what I mean? Like I always say to people, and maybe this is a fracture of my personality, is that, oh, you know, enough about my BS. Tell me about your day. You know, because I don't want to always dive into whatever it is that is bothering me, you know. And we would rather wake people up to things, you know. What I do during the day, I try to wake people up to things. You know, I tell them, well, you know, you could do this. You could do that. Everything else is, it's a fragment of time, and it's a fragment of our intuition and this. And maybe whatever it is I'm going through is part of the divine, whatever that is, you know, to maybe learn more about myself. And this is why I am the way I am, and all this other shit. You know, I was talking to a woman who read me, and we'll get to the Bill Hicks, but she said to me, you're going through all this for a reason. Okay. Because you are asking all the right questions. You know what the beautiful thing about Bill was? He was telling us to ask all the right questions. All those questions that make people feel uncomfortable. And here we go, right from the 1992 special.
There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok? But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And that's Bill describing life as a ride. That's what his humor really was to tap into things like that. And he talks about, you know, he was at, I think, a Waffle House, and he was reading a book, and the people there were like, what you doing? I'm reading. What you reading? You're not supposed to be reading here. You're supposed to be eating waffles. And so he was not your typical person, I guess, and that's the beauty of it, you know, as he went through life saying, you know, fuck this ride. I'm going to get off this ride. I'm going to explore whatever it is I'm going to explore. And, oh, geez. Oh, I got to read this. Being a Sagittarius, I can attest to this. Look at this right here. California and New York. By January of 1986, Hicks was using recreational drugs, and his financial resources had dwindled.
His career received another yet upturn in 1987, however, when he appeared on the Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian special. The same year he moved to New York City, in the next 5 years performed for over 300 times a year. On the album Relentless, he jokes that he quit using drugs because once you've been taken aboard a UFO, it's kind of hard to top that. Although his performances, he continued to enthusiastically praise the virtues of LSD, marijuana, and psychedelic mushrooms. He eventually fell back into chain smoking, a theme that figured heavily in his performances from then on. His nicotine addiction, love of smoking, and occasional attempts to quit became a recurring theme in his act throughout his later years. In 1988, Hicks signs with his first promotional business manager. Yes. But see, that's it. You know, that's the thing is, as a Sagittarius, you know, yes, we tend to overdo it. You know, oh, buy drinks for everybody. You know, it's like, okay, what are we doing here? Sometimes when, as a Sagittarius, when you're engrossed in something, and then you realize, oh, this is what's going on right now, and but you're on the ride, so you can't get off that fucking ride now, can you? And Bill tapped into that in such an extraordinary way, and you know, let's play homage to him, because 30 years. We don't want that. 30 years is a long fucking time. It's a long fucking time. I mean, you know, he was 32 when he died, and that was that's wherever he is. I hope he's cackling. I hope that he is just looking at our universe and like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not back there, you know. Yeah, but he really tapped into something. Oh, I gotta play this, because you know, here we go. It's all about the herb.
Why is marijuana against the law? It grows naturally upon our planet. Doesn't the idea of making nature against the law seem to you a bit paranoid? You know what I mean? It's nature. How do you make nature against the fucking law? Grows everywhere, serves 1,000 different functions, all of them positive. To make marijuana against the law is like saying God made a mistake. You know what I mean? It's like God on the seventh day looked down at his creation. There it is, my creation, perfect and holy in all ways. Now I can rest. Oh my me. I left fucking pot everywhere. I should never have smoked that joint on the third day. That was the day I created possums. Still gives me a chuckle. I leave pot everywhere, that's going to give humans the impression they're supposed to use it. Now I have to create Republicans. And God wept. I believe it's the next verse. You know what I mean? I believe that God left certain drugs growing naturally upon our planet to help speed up and facilitate our evolution. Okay, not the most popular idea ever expressed. Either that or you're real high and agreeing with me in the only way you can right now. I forgot the code. Is it 2 blinks yes, 1 blink no? Do you think magic mushrooms growing atop cow shit was an accident? Where do you think the phrase, that's good shit, came from? Why do you think Hindus think cows are holy? Holy shit. I love talking about the Kennedy assassination, because to me it's a great example of a totalitarian government's ability to, you know, manage information and thus keep us in the dark any way they do. Oh, sorry, wrong meeting.
Oh, no. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm fucking talking about is that he tapped into something That was it was Bill Hicks. It was Bill Hicks. You know, Sagittarius is, what can I say about us? We are not all the same, but at the same time, we've all got that freak show hat on, and we're like, yeah, we're here. We see it. We see it. We observe things, you know. Whether you are being like Jim Morrison and you're burning the candle at both ends, okay? You're looking for that spiritual energy. Oh, he thought he was Dionysus. Supposedly, allegedly, he thought that. There's no real factual evidence to state that, but he, you know, he overdid it. He overdid it. And, yeah, we overdo it, you know. But then some of us know better, you know. And I would say, like, for me, 2 drinks and I'm good. I'm good. You know, everything else, it's like, oh, sure. Well, you know, Bill Hicks said I could do that. Okay, it's great, you know. Even sometimes it hits off of a bong. Sometimes it's like, okay, I think I've had enough, you know. But, you know, when the bong is shaking, you know. But, yeah, oh, God, see, it's a short, so it keeps playing. It keeps fucking playing. I mean, yes, everyone has kind of bit his style. They've bit his style. And, I mean, but sometimes it's better to just go to the source. So we're going to go to the source. That's what we're going to do. And breathe some life into these jokes that he just put out there. And if I can, I'm gonna go into some of his quotes because they're very, oh God, this man, you know, makes me think of what is it where they said, why do people, those the hours, Nicole Kidman in the Nose, remember that, where they're like, why do people have to die? So that they can make, we can make life more understandable, more living. I can't really do her British accent, even though she's Australian. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. We already got that under the belt. Okay, this is him talking about drugs and alcohol. If you want to understand a society, take a good look at the drugs it uses. And what it can tell you about this American culture. Well, look at the drugs we use. Except for pharmaceutical poison, there are essentially only 2 drugs that the Western civilization tolerates. Caffeine from Monday to Friday to energize you enough to make you productive member of society, and alcohol from Friday to Monday to keep you stupid, too stupid to figure out the prison that you are living in. Yes. He knew. He knew. And then he said, I'm glad mushrooms are against law because I took them one time, and you know what happened to me? I laid in a field of green grass for 4 hours going. My God, I love everything. Yeah, now it's as if it isn't a hazard to our country. How are we going to justify arms dealing when we realize that we are all one? So he had the cap right there on the pen. Oh, jeez, Bill. The whole image is that eternal suffering awaits anyone who questions God's infinite love. That the messages we are brought up to with isn't it just believe it or die. Thank you, forgiving Lord, for all those options, Bill Hicks. Oh, here we go. This is, oh yeah, this is what he talks about, the book. I was in Nashville, Tennessee last year. After the show, I went to a Waffle House. I'm not proud of it. I was hungry and I'm alone and I'm eating and reading a book, right? Waitress walks over to me, hey, what you reading for? Isn't that the weirdest fucking question you've ever heard? Not what I'm reading, but what am I reading for? Well, goddammit, you stumped me. Why do I read well? I don't know. I guess I read for a lot of reasons, and the main one is I don't want to end up being a fucking waffle waitress. That's what he said. Oh, shit. Oh, jeez. Yep. Go back to bed, America. Your government has figured out how it all transpired. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here we are. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here's American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch this pituitary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do what we tell you to. You are free to do what we tell you. Bill Hicks.
See what I mean? Oh, I ascribed... Oh, this is from Bill Hicks. I ascribed to Mark Twain's theory that the last person who should be president is the one who wants it the most. The one who should be picked is the one who should... is the one who should be dragged kicking and screaming into the White House. Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's what he says on the Tool album. I'm sorry if you... any of you are Catholic. I'm sorry if you're offended. I'm actually just sorry by the fact that you're Catholic. That's a good one. Oh, Bill. William. Melvin Hicks. Comedian. Provocateur. Thinker. Yes. From his beginnings to being censored. Oh, ooh, I'm all about this. Let's do it. Let's knock these fuckers out. Let's knock these fuckers out. Dennis Leary's plagiarism. For many years, Hicks was friends with fellow comedian Dennis Leary. But in 1993, he was angered by Leary's album No Cure for Cancer, which featured lines and subject matter similar to his own routine. According to American Scream, the Bill Hicks story by Cynthia True, upon hearing the album, Hicks was furious. All these years aside from the occasional jab, he pretty much shrugged off Leary's lifting comedians borrowed, stole stuff, and even bought bits from another. Milton Berle and Robin Williams were famous for it. This was different. Leary had practically taken the line-for-line huge chunks of Bill's act, recorded it. The friendship ended abruptly as a result. Shit. That's fucked up. That's real fucked up. Yeah. Oh, jeez. His legacy is that, you know, we go back and we listen to his humor. We listen to the Tool album where it all starts. In 2005, poll to find the comedians, insiders voted Hicks 13th on their list of the top 20 greatest comedians acts ever. And Comedy Central's Presents 100 Greatest Stand-Ups of All Time, Hicks was ranked 19th. In 2007, he was voted the 6th of Britain's... Britain loved him. Britain fucking loved him. So did Tool. Tool fucking loved him. Jeez. I mean, this is... this is amazing. What? Oh, that never happened. Russell Crowe was going to play him. Oh, Richard Linklater said he was going to do a movie. Where is it? Where's the movie, Richard? Where's the fucking movie? Ah. Okay, here we go. In 1995, Hicks' family released a brief essay he had written weeks before his death. This was written February 7th, 1994. 30 years ago. I was born William Melvin Hicks on December 16th, 1961 in Valdosta, Georgia. Melvin Hicks from Georgia. Yeehaw! I already have gotten off on the life to... I already had gotten off to life on the wrong foot. I was always awake. I guess you'd say some part of me was clamoring for insights and new ways to make the world a better place. All of this came out years down the line. And my multitude of creative interests that are the tools I now bring to the party. Writing, acting, music, comedy. A deep love of literature and books. Thank God for all the artists who've helped me. I read these words and off I went, dreaming my own imaginative streams, exercising them at will, eventually to form bands, comedy, more bands, movies, anything creative. This is the coin of the realm I use in my words. Yeah. On June 16th, 1993, I was diagnosed with having liver cancer and it spread from the pancreas. One of life's weirdest and worst jokes imaginable. I've been making such progress recently in my attitude, my career, and realizing my dreams that it just stood me on my head for a while. Why me? I would cry out, and why now? Well, I know now there may never be any answers to those particular questions, but maybe in telling a little about myself, we can find some answers to those questions that might help our way down our own particular paths towards realizing my dream of new hope and new happiness. Amen. I left in love and laughter, and in truth and whatever truth, wherever truth, love and laughter aside, abide. I am there in spirit. Well, and so that's what we'll end at the 30 mark. William Melvin Hicks, December 16th, 1961 to February 26th, 1994. Thank you for giving us humor. Thank you for giving us realism. The ride. I'm on the ride. I want off this fucking ride, man. You know, whether it takes me running naked through the desert, tripping balls, you know, listen to some Tool, because that's what I do. You know, we can agree to that, you know. I traveled. Something just came off the mic. Was that me? I traveled, you know, 700 miles just to see Tool, and it was worth it. Bill Hicks, eternally, you're amazing. Good night.